In tasting wines, there's three things that you watch and enjoy. One is the color of the wine. See how nice the color of this is? And the next thing is the aroma. And you smell the product. Hold it.
Hold it by the stem.
Yeah, the proper way is right here. Let me just do catch it like I did. Grab the glass like that.
Is it glass?
Yep. Yeah, it's a cup. Okay.
Yes.
Just grab that and...
No, the glass.
Take the cup. Take the cup. No. Take the cup. Here.
It's The Wine Crush, a show that's all about the grape. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
Oh, it's good. Ooh. It is.
And Michael Ambrose.
Honey, I'm home.
And welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we welcome you to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, everything that's in the glass, and everything you ever wanted to know about that glorious beverage, wine. Today we have a fun show ahead of us. We have a number of interesting guests sticking their head into the studio. We're going to talk a little bit about exactly what your server should know. And most importantly, the show about you. We're going to take some calls, we're going to take some emails, and find out what's on your mind today.
Sounds like fun.
So, as we get started, like we usually do, Michael, I have to know, with all your great traveling, what are you drinking these days?
Laura, I had a chance to taste a great wine last night. It was a reacquaintance with that wine, Torres Sangre de Toro. That means blood of the bull. Great red wine from Spain, really smooth with just a little edge, great with beef. How about you now?
Blood of the bull, huh?
Blood of the bull, yeah.
Yeah, I can see you part of one part of the bull. As far as me, I'm still on a Chardonnay kick. I have actually kind of meandered back over to the single vineyard thing. There is a wine in California called Hess.
And they know it well,
yes,
yeah.
They do a great Chardonnay called Suskel Chardonnay, S-U-S-C-O-L, I believe. Just really full-bodied, not overly oaky, really refreshing as we're getting into the fall kind of things.
That's cool, and it's really good, and I'm still waiting for the weather to break to really switch into my deep red red categories.
It's always nice when you're getting deep. It's certainly getting deep in here. All right, for our listeners, we are doing something different today, and this is right up Michael's alley. We want to talk about what your server should know. When you go to a restaurant, you have people that come up to the table. They ask you what you like to drink. They ask you what you want to eat. And most of us rely, for the most part, on their recommendations.
Right, right.
But here's the question. We've talked a lot about what you should know about wine going into that restaurant. But truly, what should that server know when they approach your table? Michael, you've been on the restaurant and country club business for years and years and years. What do you think are the most important things a server should know when they set out to wait on a customer?
You know, Laura, I think the most important thing that a server should know is that that guest is the reason they have a job. That should be their focus for the night, the making that person as happy as possible, because that's how they make their money. I think also to know the menu, to know every ingredient and every item. It's really important when you go out to eat, when, you know, Laura, when you go out and you say, listen, I'm allergic to basil. Does that salad dressing have basil in it? Nothing upsets me more than the waiter or waitress who says, you know, I'll be right back. Let me ask the chef. They need to know that information. So they are going to lead you through a great dining experience. So they need to know their menu really well.
Well, you hope so, but I'm going to cut you off right there real quick. If you think about the servers that come to the table, I would much rather have a server look at me and say, I don't know if there's basil in that, then lie to me and say, absolutely not, there's no basil in it, then I get my plate and it's covered in basil.
No doubt about that. So they actually have to know what they're talking about.
You would think that'd be a criteria for most our jobs, wouldn't you?
Indeed, indeed. Now, let me just say, they should also know what is not available. In other words, you say, well, okay, I'm going to have the ribeye steak. To have them come back and say, oops, we ran out of that. They need to know what they do have and what they don't have.
How much of that is actually on the shoulders of the server, though? What if the chef in the back only cooked 5 baked potatoes, all of a sudden he's out of baked potatoes? Is it really on the server to know that, or does the chef have to communicate that?
Well, the chef would communicate that at the beginning of the night. There would be a countdown on the screen where the people are putting their orders in so that they would know okay, there's only three now. There's only two now. And then the managers should be going around to everybody and saying, we are out of baked potatoes or whatever it happens to be. So there should be almost no instances of that. Now, there's a couple of other things. And one is they should also know basic food and wine service. Imagine that.
Well, basic food and wine service, you're hoping if they're coming to the table, they're not going to dump it in your lap.
Not dump it in your lap, but they should be taking the ladies' orders first. They should, you know, as conveniently as possible, serve from the left, pick up from the right, show the bottle to the person before they open it. And I'm talking basics.
I was about to say, we're talking basic service here, Michael. There are most days where I'm just really happy to get a glass of Chardonnay that doesn't have lipstick on it. It's actually set down on the table without winding up in my lap.
And I'm not arguing with you. That's exactly right. Basic service is a little harder for some people than it would seem.
All right. Well, you are the snob. You come from high-end restaurants and you come from a country club, so I know you have a different definition. We'll get off on that tack later.
You know, and of course, when you're at a place that maybe not be quite so high-end, when you say, what's for dinner? And they look down at their apron and they say, oh, it looks like we've got some spinach tonight and some potatoes. Okay.
Fair enough.
Now, one more thing, and that is they need to know when to call a manager. There's really a philosophy there where servers and bartenders are hired to provide great service, great hospitality, and good food. When things start to go bad, all of a sudden it becomes the responsibility of the manager to make it right. Because in our case, we're not going to let anybody leave unhappy. And we will do whatever it takes to make that person walk away from the table happy. If the steak is undercooked or overcooked, they're going to get dessert at least. If it's overcooked, they're probably going to get a free meal. And if they're still not happy, I'm going to invite them back and give them another free meal.
Oh, goody. Michael's going to invite them back if the server screws up. Well, we encourage our listeners, call in. Let us know what you think about what a server should know. Call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1, or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. Right now, that is exactly what has happened. We have a brave listener calling us. We have Jessica from South Carolina. Jessica, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
We are doing very well. What can Michael and I help you with today?
Yeah, I was at a restaurant, and I ordered a wine, and it ended up being a bad bottle, and the server didn't quite know how to handle it. So what's the protocol on something like that? If you're given a bad bottle of wine, how are they supposed to deal with it?
I would say with grace and with much elegance. God knows I have put many waiters and waitresses through their paces at restaurants all around the globe.
I can imagine it. Fangs out, as a matter of fact.
No, just the occasional straw here and there. Michael, yes. You're the one that actually trains these servers. How should a server properly handle a bad bottle of wine?
Right. And there's a definition as to what a bad bottle of wine is.
Well, we're not going to get on that today. You've gotten on that soapbox before. How does your server handle taking that bottle back?
They just take it away. They let a manager know because, once again, that's the responsibility of a manager. That manager should be coming back over the table and say, do you want to try another bottle of the same, or can I offer you something else?
Well, looking at this, Michael, you and I have both run the gamut of fine dining and just casual dining.
Right.
How many restaurant managers and how many restaurant trainers actually warn their servers, hey, listen, there is such a thing as bad bottles? I mean, we're in a situation where one out of 12 bottles is bad.
Right, no doubt.
Are managers actually training these people in restaurants on how to handle this? I know that I've run across many things where I've had to insist them take the bottle back to the point where I hand them my business card and say, really, trust me, take it back.
Right. And, you know, you're lucky in that you know the business and you know it really well. There's so many people that are thinking that it's bad. And that's right. We're not going to go there. But bottom line is we're going to take it back. We're going to put the cork back in it. And we'll probably talk to the vendor and see if we can get our money back. But we're going to make that customer happy. That might not be the case everywhere. But by golly, it's not worth losing a customer over the price of a bottle of wine.
Well, it's the second time you've talked about making the customer happy, so hopefully we have made Jessica happy and have answered your question today here at The Crush.
Yes, you have. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you for calling in.
No problem.
All right, we encourage everyone, give us a call at The Crush, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what's on your mind. We're going to take a small pause right here. But when we return, we'll have guests in the studio and we'll talk a little bit more about what your server should know.
There you go.
I like to think about the life of wine. Yeah. How it's a living thing. I like to think about what was going on the year the grapes were growing. How the sun was shining. If it rained. I like to think about all the people who tended and picked the grapes. And if it's an old wine, how many of them must be dead by now? I like how wine continues to evolve. Like, if I opened a bottle of wine today, it would taste different than if I'd opened it on any other day. Because a bottle of wine is actually alive. And it's constantly evolving and gaining complexity.
The Wine Crush.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was he?
9-17-75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Break out the aisle!
the thirsty!
The Wine Crush.
Well, I guess we better get on with it.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we're continuing on our merry trail of talking about the grape today.
Yes, indeed.
Today we are talking about when you're dining at a restaurant, what should you expect from your server? What should they know when they approach the table? And how should they help you benefit that whole restaurant experience?
That's right. And Laura, I've already given you my perception of that. And so I'd ask you, you know, as a person that's not particularly in the business, but as a consistent observer of it, because you go out so much and you're entertaining the wine folks, what do you think about that?
You and I definitely have different takes on what we expect from our servers. I have to admit, after 20 years in this business, I expect one of two things when I go out. I'm either going to get the best service in the house,
right,
or I'm going to get the worst service in the house.
Okay.
If a restaurant's in the weeds, oh my God, it's just Laura. I'm going to ignore her. She can sit there indefinitely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As long as I feed her alcohol, she's happy. But honestly, dining out on a professional sense and taking customers out, here's what I expect my server to know.
Okay.
They need to know what wines are by the glass.
Right. Absolutely.
If I say I'd like a, you know, I say, what are you serving today by the glass? And they look at me and say Chardonnay, the hair on the back of my neck starts to stand up.
Okay.
So,
but it's understandable, let's just say you've got 30 wines by the glass, that they might not know every one of those.
No, a server should know every wine that is by the glass.
Okay.
If you're at a restaurant that has 30 wines by the glass, then obviously you're a higher-end restaurant. The
right.
service should be along those same lines. So, yeah. Pet peeve, if you're going to wait on my table, know exactly what your Chardonnays are. Also, I'm like you. I expect basic service.
Right.
And my ideas of basic service are a lot different than yours. If I'm sitting at a group table, there's four of us there, I really don't care how you pour my table as long as that glass doesn't get empty.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I'm dead serious. As much as I've dined out, it really doesn't matter to me if you have all the foil, if you have the cork done right, if you present the cork. Do not let me run out of wine.
No, and I think when people go out and they're having wine and they're either entertaining or they have an expectation of having a good time, that server needs to upsell you or at least keep the wine flowing, because you're expecting it and you're going to feel better about it, and obviously he's going to get a better tip out of it.
Exactly. If I'm down to a third of a glass of Chardonnay,
yeah.
I'm looking around to see where the next one's coming from.
Right.
The most important thing I think that any server can do, and it kind of ties into one of the things you discuss, is a server has to know how to listen.
Yeah.
Recently, went out with a bunch of girlfriends. We were all talking about different wines. They all know I'm in the business. So we sit down, and my girlfriend orders a glass of Chardonnay. And she looks at the server and says, I don't want something buttery. I don't want something oaky.
Yeah.
I want something very clean. Well, server comes back, gives her one of the biggest, oakiest glasses of Chardonnay that was offered. Server did not listen, and of course, it's one of those things, then you go into the, can I send it back, can I not send it back thing.
Yeah.
If a server will take the time to be quiet, quit upselling me, and quit telling me today's specials, and actually pay attention, I promise you I'll become a repeat diner. So I think if there's three things you have to know about a server, one, what is by the glass? Two, what is basic service? Don't let me run out of alcohol. And three, you have to know how to listen.
Okay. And, you know, one of the things on my list that I didn't mention earlier is for the server to write it down. Write it down, read it back. That's the best way to avoid those kind of problems. The person that thinks they can rely on their memory to remember four different people ordering four courses of food and wines to go with it, that's ridiculous.
Well, it makes sense. Most of us should write things down, right?
Right.
Whatever your name
John.
Is. Michael. All right. We encourage you, call in. Let us know what's going on in your mind and what's going on in your restaurant world with your servers. Call us 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at info@winecrush.com. Right now, Barry from Raleigh has called in with a question for the Crush. Barry, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Right. What have
Hi,
you got
Laura.
For
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great, Barry. How are you?
Love your show. Listen to it on WPTF in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill market in North Carolina.
Fantastic.
We love having devout listeners.
I'll tell you, that's a great market up there, too.
Well, your subject today is really right up my alley. I'm a rookie wine drinker, and although I've dined in restaurants for many years, I've only recently discovered and transitioned to wine. And the wine lists at a lot of our restaurants can be intimidating. We have so many new fine steakhouses and seafood shops moving in.
You really do.
Seem to be trying to outdo each other with the wine list.
Right.
And I really am not ready to break down a wine list, and frequently am with other folks that are in the same boat. As a rookie wine drinker, is it okay to ask the server for advice? In which case, I'll be giving up my status, is that I really don't know what I'm doing. And how can I tell if I'm getting great advice from my server once I do inquire about the list?
You know, I think it depends on the type of restaurant you're in. If it's really a high-end restaurant, there's going to be some expert there that will offer you the best advice you can possibly get. A person that's a specialist will actually come to the table, will give you several choices. They will be unintimidating, and it'll make you feel much better. You're in a little bit more foreign territory when you're talking to the servers themselves. In my restaurant, all of the servers are required to know the wine and food combinations for sweet wines, dry, crisp wines like Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnays, what goes good with Pinot Noir, and what goes good with a cab. That they're required to know that. They're required to identify a wine that goes particularly well with each of the menu items and make that recommendation.
Wine specials? Often there's a table talker or something on the table that is promoting a particular wine or particular winemaker, and often they seem to be kind of pushing those towards me. Is that can that be a good move to go with the special?
Barry, I think that's a great move. Anytime you see a restaurant that's doing a special, it means that it's a good value for you,
right,
and it pairs well with whatever seasonal menu that's being produced by the restaurant. So I would always look at wine specials as a really good fallback position.
Absolutely. It's a great idea because typically, just like Laura says, those specials are specially priced.
And how about one more follow-up, if you don't mind, if I've got time? I'd like to, sometimes when we're ordering food, we like to ask the server. They may have sampled the food before the meal from the chef. Is it okay to ask the server if they're familiar with the wine and if it's one of their favorites and it might go well with the food that we're ordering?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great way to get in touch with your server and your menu.
Right.
Well, Barry, thank you very much for calling into The Crush. We hope that you find your knowledge imparted a little bit, and we encourage you to call back at some other time.
So, you know, we won the cup in 06, then we won again in 07, so naturally me, Jimmy, Chad, and the guys were really happy. And, you know, of course, we've had
What's this we? We won in 06. We won in 07. What, are you part of Lowe's Team 48?
Yeah.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today. You'll get the club's free track record magazine, members-only discounts, weekly club emails, and lots more.
This is Jimmy Johnson. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level. And a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
For all sorts of fun information about wine, go to our new website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
And welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm still Michael Ambrose.
Most days, yes. And we are still having fun talking a little bit about today's theme, which is what your server should know.
Absolutely.
Be it about wine, be it about food, be it about the wine and food pairing. Just whatever they should be able to encompass your dining experience. So far between Michael and I, we've come up with listen. The server needs to know the menu. They need to know what is in stock. They need to know what is out of stock. By all means, they don't need to let us run out of alcohol.
Absolutely not.
And they need to know what they're selling.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are things that servers want to know about their guests. I know there's some things that they want to know about their diners. And Michael, I'm going to spring this on you because it was in a recent restaurant poll I just read.
Okay.
What percentage do you think of your servers pre-qualify their diners?
You know, it's interesting, and I say this because our restaurant is a little bit different. We pre-qualify our diners every time they make a reservation. At our restaurant, the hostess, when she takes that, if you call in to make a reservation or if you get a web reservation, there are several questions that are asked. One is, can we get your first names? Are you coming here for a special occasion? Is there a special table that you would like? Can we do anything for you tonight? And so when we seat that guest, the hostess provides the server with a little piece of paper, and that server will walk up to the table and say, "Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, I see this is your first time here."
Well, as usual, you are just getting off on a different tangent.
Okay,
what
I'm
looking for, pre-qualify. A server walks up to the table and takes one look at the people sitting down at the table and says, "This is a cheap table, this is an expenses table, this is a table. Yes, prejudging them. I am trying to be objective here and not use your simple terms.
Okay, sorry.
So, according to the restaurant poll, what percentage of your servers pre-qualify?
Oh, I'd say about 90%.
Actually, it's 80%. So keep that in mind when you're dining out. Just as you are sitting there judging your server, 80% of your servers are sitting there judging you.
That's right. And if you're wearing a wife beater t-shirt and a pair of cut-off blue jeans, they're probably not going to prejudge you favorably.
Yes, and Michael can speak from experience. But as long as we are speaking of great experience, we are very, very fortunate today. We have Miss Wanda Miller. She is the president of Charlotte Motor Speedway Club, stopping by our studio. Wanda, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Oh, Laura and Michael, it's a pleasure to be here. I love your show.
Well, thank you. We're very fortunate because we get to occasionally drop by your club. For our listeners, the Speedway Club in Charlotte is, if you can imagine, the best, the most expensive country club you could imagine, all coupled with the charisma of the NASCAR crowd. So it's very, very diverse. It has a great cross-section. Wanda, you have to be one amazing woman to balance all of that goes on.
I think we have an amazing staff, and I have the good common sense to get out of their way when they're getting it right.
Yeah. You know,
as I'm sure Michael would agree with me.
And Wanda, I've got a secret to tell our group here, and that is we've known each other for a pretty long time.
Yes, we have. I've been a fan of yours for a long time.
Well, listen, Michael. I've been a fan of yours, and how long have you been here?
You know, Michael, I would have to kill you off there if I answered that question.
Yeah, really, Michael, that's akin to asking a woman her age. You know better than that. My God, you were alive when Moses was around. You know better.
But I know you took the job at age 18.
I did, and the pace here moves about as fast as the cars on the track.
Right.
So the level of burnout that you reach is from exhaustion, not from being bored with your job.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. And now we have a lot of new friends, and they are all part of the National Hot Rod Association. And those guys drag race down the street in our new facility, and top fuel dragsters and funny cars and drag motorcycles. And they have become a big part of our family now, too. So we are encompassing a lot of different things at this track. And it means that my restaurant has become a vastly more diversified place than it even was before.
Wow, that's cool.
It is cool. It's very cool.
Dealing with all that diversification, it's got to be kind of hard to figure out, you know, as we're talking about specials, as we were talking about different things you're doing with wine, and especially what we're talking about on topic today about what your servers should know. My God, I know that Charlotte Motor Speedway hosts two very large NASCAR races during the year. I can imagine your club during that time is just mayhem. How do you keep your servers up to speed on what's on the menu, on the wine, and how do you coach them to do that kind of volume service?
Laura, when you're looking at 1,100 a la carte diners in a day, okay?
Incredible.
You have to focus on specific things. We pick what we want them to show, and we train them on it over and over again. And we tell them, because history tells us what our people like to drink. And I'll tell you that our crowd does favor the producers and the vineyards that have a relationship with NASCAR, such as Mr. Childress.
Really?
Absolutely. The Childress group has meddled hundreds of times, and they have some really nice products.
That's cool. And Wanda, I've got a question for you. Over the years, have you seen the taste, the drinking habits of your particular group of people change?
Can I shock you?
Please. Please do.
Unless it's an event weekend.
Yeah.
A Sprint Cup weekend, we don't sell beer.
Really?
For instance, Wednesday nights, tonight for instance, is a big member night. We do indoor happy hours, outdoor happy hours. It's gorgeous food. Tonight there's a Lotus parked in our underneath our covered entrance. There's a 1957 Corvette, I believe. There are classic, wonderful cars brought by these folks, and we won't open a half a dozen beers tonight.
Wow. And you know, I'm looking out here at this beautiful silver XKE from 1962. You have got some beautiful cars out there.
Well, it's nice to know that we have a big group that gets together and thinks about cars and drinks wine. But, of course, here at the Wine Crush, we never advocate putting those two together. So, Wanda, thank you very much for being part of the Crush and dropping by. You know that you are always welcome, and we definitely want to hear more about what goes on. Hopefully around a race we can talk you into coming down and telling us what you're planning on serving and how you're planning on featuring everything.
And, Laura, I'd love to have you guys come and do a live show with us, because we have an awful lot of members that are great wine aficionados, and they will all tell you that they're fledgling. They're like golfers. Nobody admits to being very good at it.
That's what I like to hear. That's my favorite group. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, here at The Crush, we are starting a brand new segment for this show, and it's called Your Vintage Vibe. And so here is something for everyone to think about as we go to break. We are asking you to pick out what vintage we are talking about. In this vintage, 60 Minutes first aired. 2001 Space Odyssey, the movie, hit theaters. Green Bay won the Super Bowl. And finally, here's your kicker, Senator Bobby Kennedy was shot.
Oh.
The answer and more on this vintage when we return.
We will sell no wine before it's time.
The Wine Crush.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
I'm on a test track, riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Today we are discussing a little bit, not about what you should know, but about what your server should know when you go dine out in a restaurant.
Yes, indeed.
But before the break, we had started our new segment, Vintage Vibe. And we had asked you, which vintage was this? The vintage where 60 Minute aired. 2001 Space Odyssey hit the theaters, Green Bay won the Super Bowl, and Senator Bobby Kennedy was shot. Michael, what is your guess on this?
Laura, I'm going to guess 1967. I'm not sure, but I think it was 67.
You're very, very close. For all of our listeners, it was also the year where Heard It Through the Grapevine was released by Marvin Gaye.
That was 1968.
That would be 1968. And so to make it relevant, in 1968, there wasn't a worthwhile vintage anywhere in the world. In all fairness, Burgundy was awful. Bordeaux was awful. Spain, the rest of Europe, had a horrible rainstorm. California
Cabernets, did pretty well.
However, were the rising star of that, and it was one of the first great vintages ever, a California Cab.
Right. Beaulieu Vineyards was particularly good.
All right. Well, speaking of great vineyards, we in the past have been very, very fortunate to have winemakers call in and talk to us and enlighten our listeners about different aspects of wine and winemaking.
Right.
And Alex Sokolblosser, of course, one of my favorite people and one of the best wines of the summer with Sokolblosser Evolution No. 9, had called in and given us a great interview which addressed a lot of questions that we keep getting back over and over at The Crush. So, to make sure that we have fully covered our subjects and to make sure that you grasp everything that Alex is saying and get to know this great man better, we are going to air a segment of the Alex Sokolblosser interview.
That's excellent. Tell us about the wines that you're making, why you think, what differentiates your wines from the others in your area, and tell us where we can find some and drink some.
We actually have two sides to our personality here at Sokolblosser. Not that I'm trying to say we're schizophrenic, but we...
Yeah.
we
You're in the wine business. Everyone's schizophrenic in the wine business.
When it comes to, you know, we're in the business because we have a passion. We're passionate about Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir is what gets us out of the bed in the morning and why we go to sleep at night and we dream about making top Pinot Noir. So Pinot Noir is the red wine of Oregon. 60% of what comes out of Oregon is Pinot Noir, so we're part of that. We also make a little bit of Pinot Gris. Pinot Gris is the white wine of the state. And then we also make two proprietary blends, and these are unique blends, and these blends are based not on the terroir, the soil, the dirt. They're based on blending a number of wines together to come up with a flavor profile that we want to achieve.
Well, I'm definitely addicted to one of those that you're about to talk about.
The Evolution?
Yes.
Awesome.
I can't leave that wine alone.
Evolution is... when we first came up with that in 1998, it's a relatively new wine for us, we thought, well, this will be nice. We'll make a little bit of this wine, and we'll see how it goes. But it really struck a chord out there. And what Evolution is, it's a blend of 9 white wines.
Wow.
And the inspiration for this wine is twofold. One, we're huge Beatles fans, and there's a song on the White Album. I encourage all the listeners to go out and get the White Album. That's one of the best. I mean, I'm a young guy, but the White Album still is a beautiful thing. There's a song on the White Album called Revolution No. 9. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we can make a wine and call it Revolution No. 9, which we couldn't. But we call it Evolution No. 9, and let's go out and find 9 white varietals that will pair well with the kind of cuisine we wanted to make the wine go for, and which was Asian fusion cuisine.
Wow, that's cool.
Food with spice in it. So, hence, that was kind of the genesis of Evolution, and plus we already made a wine back then that became the base of it called Mueller Thurgau.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Now, try saying that 5 times fast.
Are you kidding? We used to drink and have contests to see who could drink more and still name the 9 varietals that were in Sokolblosser. And then, in all fairness, y'all did change those 9 varietals a couple times.
We have. It's
yes.
always stayed 9. But it's always stayed 9, but because it's grown. We started with 2,000 cases, and this year I believe we made about 58,000 cases. So it's now the biggest production wine we make. And
you still don't make enough.
Can't make enough. Okay. And it completely exceeded our expectations. You know, if you look at the label, you go, what the hell is that? Because there's not a lot of gobbledygook on the label.
It doesn't look like
it's a wine label per se. Our Pinot Noir and Pinot Gris look like wine labels, but this is more of a something a little bit different.
You have made your benchmark and you have made your legend off your Pinot Noirs.
That's right. That's right. And that will continue to be so. One thing that we're doing here at Sokolblosser is we want to be as good to the earth as possible. So our vineyards became certified organic in 2005.
Fantastic.
And our goal is not to make organic wine. We just want to be organic farmers. So our Pinot Noir and our Pinot Gris, we want to be in the top echelon in terms of quality that comes out of Oregon. But how we get to that quality, we want to do it in as good to the earth way as we can. So what your consumers will see is, hey, this is Pinot Noir made from organically grown grapes. It won't be organic wine, just wine made from organically grown grapes, and that's kind of two different things.
Alex, do you have a website that people can go to get some more information about your wines?
Yes, absolutely. You can get information about us at www.sokolblosser.com, and that's spelled S as in Sam, O-K-O-L, then B as in boy, L-O-S-S-E-R. And there's also a really good site if you're traveling to the area. Let me just look it up here. I believe it's called TravelOregon.com. And TravelOregon.com is a really good website. Yeah, it is TravelOregon.com. It's a really good website to go to find out information about traveling here. They have seasonal offerings. And I actually go to that website when I want to schedule a trip because I love traveling inside of Oregon. Oregon's the 10th biggest state, and there's a lot of cool things to see in Oregon. So I get on that website to go and actually plan my trip.
Yeah.
So it's a good one.
I can definitely relate to that. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are talking with Alex Sokolblosser of Oregon Sokolblosser Winery. We cater to people who are trying to learn about wine, kind of like I'm trying to learn about wine, and Michael's trying to learn about wine.
Me too.
What advice do you have for wine drinkers? What do you have for people who are just now realizing that Oregon is more than just an apple place?
I'm glad that, Laura, you said it's more than just an apple place, because most people a lot of people on the East Coast think of us as the land of Tonya Harding. So I'm glad that it's now apples and not Tonya Harding anymore.
That's a tough apple.
Absolutely. Although I could take a limb to Michael here real quick. We'll just hobble him a little bit.
There's a sea of wine out there, and there's different. And if you don't like wine, a lot of friends would come and say, Alex, I don't like wine. And I usually say is, you haven't found the right wine. It's
exactly.
Kind of like dating. Oh, I'm never going to find a perfect mate. Well, you haven't found the right person yet. And there is a wine out there, and it may be grown in Outer Mongolia, or it may be grown in Oregon.
Yeah.
That's for that person. And what I think is important, especially when you're starting out, is don't take wine too seriously. Wine is fermented grape juice. Wine hopefully adds to your day or your meal. And I've witnessed this many times before. A good friend can make a bad wine taste really good.
Alex, yeah. I love you. You are just hitting dead on what we tell people over and over and over again. We're going to drag you in here and make you be a host before this is over with.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, it's not just about the wine. I mean, if you go to a nice restaurant, And the service is good, the food's good, they could serve you, I don't know, something not very good, and it would still taste great.
You know, I can listen to Alex Sokolblosser over and over again because he says my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Don't take
great.
Wine too seriously.
No, that's exactly
Michael.
Right.
Yeah. All right, for our listeners, we have to take a small break, but when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about what your server should know, what you should know, and how you should be able to handle that server.
If one of you drinks this, you both will be fine. Happiness, comfort, and beauty divine.
You both will be fine.
I guess it means it'll affect Fiona, too.
The Wine Crush.
Bartender, tender, please give me a drink of wine. Bartender, tender, please give me a drink of wine. If you do that for me, it'll make me feel real fine.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Look, Steve, isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
Oh, I'm not going to ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG. Based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH-1. That's 877-427-8741.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach and save the fuzz for my pillow. Start me a smoke, talk to me nice, you got to wind me and dine me.
Oh, that's smooth, just like us here at the Wine Crush.
I'm telling you, that peach sounded pretty good to me.
I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And you are listening to the Wine Crush, the show that has been all about the grape in all its glory and occasionally off on those tangents like today.
Right.
We have been talking a little bit about what your server should know when you go to a restaurant. And I think Michael and I both have hit on key points that your server should listen. They should know what items they carry. They should know what's not there. I think, but ultimately, no matter where you're dining around the country, you have to take into effect whether you're going to Billy Joe's Barbecue or whether you're going to Ruth Chris or the Capitol Grill. It is something that's going to be a great experience as long as you're willing to be open. So I think, Michael, you and I kind of agree on this. The best advice we can give anyone when dealing with their servers is the golden rule.
It is. And that is, you know, make sure that you treat your server just like you want to be treated.
All right. Words of wisdom from Michael Ambrose and from Laura Lawson. But that is all the time we have here on the Wine Crush today.
Right.
So just remember, sip socially, drink responsibly, and as always, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.